1 and Canner Highway, west of Old England.
This is the Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
In the gritty and difficult places of the world, God calls his people to be salt and light to the broken and the needy. That's what the front line is all about. Open your heart and your mind. Today's show is about to begin.
Here. Hey, good morning. We are on the air. You just heard me say that. I'm saying it again.
You are.
So, yeah, I've been on air for 75 years, but this is being on the air. We're broadcasting. So if I didn't have any air in my lungs.
You've been breathing air.
I've been breathing. So now I have all that skill, all that practice is coming to bear.
Yeah, I tried breathing water. It doesn't work.
Yeah. Welcome to the front line. This is David Francoeur. I'm the main host, maybe that's just in my mind, but I'm running the board, so I have some control.
You're the boss.
I'm the boss. Yeah,
some
thank you, John.
Be board than others.
Now, before I introduce our guest, who's you probably recognize his voice,
yes,
which is good, and he's got some really cool stuff to share with us today. I want to welcome first a guy who hasn't been with us for a while, but he's back. And God is really working in his life, Ed Skiba.
Thank you. Thank you. You're right. I haven't been here since the last time.
Yeah, right.
Another beautiful South Florida morning.
It is. It is. It is.
I love Florida.
It's much better now that you're with us, brother, instead of, you know. And God is moving in your life. A lot of prayer has been issued for you, and God has a plan to keep you on the planet for a while.
Amen.
And this week, let's pray. Let's just pray because you have. I'm going to get to Ann in a minute, who's on the phone. In fact, let me just do this because I must introduce Ann before we pray for you, Ed. Ann Limhoko calling in at great expense from wherever she is. Ann, good morning.
Good morning. I apologize that I'm not in the studio, but I'm happy to join you all via phone. And the day that Ed's in there, I'm not in the studio, but I want to give special kudos to Ed, who I miss very greatly. So,
well, thank you.
Good morning.
Thank you very much.
Well, our hope is that after the procedure you're going to have on Thursday, that you will be fully functional, up and running, full of energy, and able to then get back in the fast lane of ministry.
Amen. I'm looking forward to it. Yesterday, I hit a milestone that I never thought I would see. I became 82 years old.
Hey, happy birthday. That's
happy.
Right.
Oh,
yesterday
Ed,
was your birthday.
Happy birthday.
Wow. Happy 82, yep. Man.
Rocks don't even live that
long. Really? Well, last time I hit a milestone, it ruined my whole front end.
I know what you mean.
You know, that goes.
I think my front end out of line,
really?
Too.
Yeah, right. We're glad anyway. Praise God. Let's have a little prayer because Ed is going to have any procedure dealing with the heart is serious. Yeah. So we just, Father God, lift Ed up to you. We thank you that you really have blessed him. You've empowered him in the work of your Holy Spirit to be a man of God, to minister in your name and for your purposes. For several decades, many, many decades. And Father, now as he just admitted to being 82, but age is immaterial,
right.
Father, when it comes to what you have in mind for us, the service you've called us to, the outpouring of your Spirit to accomplish the things you've given us, we claim today in Jesus' name that Ed will have a successful procedure on
Amen.
Thursday. That procedure will restore him, will give him his strength back, and will enable him to get back in that fast lane of ministry where you've had him for so long. And you still got him on the planet for a good period of time. So we give you thanks and praise for that. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen.
I receive that, brother, and I receive it from all the listeners out there that I know were praying in agreement.
Amen. Amen. And by the way, listeners, you know, as often is with someone as got an issue in their life, you can pray for them more than once.
Amen.
So if you
Amen.
Remember Ed Skiba in your prayers this week, Thursday
do.
Is the day.
Thursday's the day. That's
and
right.
then every other day that follows will be.
Well, he knows that 82 is the new 62.
That's
we
right.
We live in Florida. We don't get old in
That's
Florida.
Right. And with everything else going on, yeah. And so I'm at 75. That's probably what, 58?
Well, 75 is 55. You got to take 20 years off.
Actually, I told my brother, I just I just had the 43rd anniversary of my 39th birthday.
Yeah, nice. There you go. So.
That's right.
Wow.
I had to think about the math there for a second.
Well, better you than me. I didn't do math really well. So today we have, and if you recognize the voice, John Nelson, Families Recover. And before I give you a chance to say anything, I so enjoy having John on the air with us on a regular basis, because we can never exhaust the material that you bring in terms of your ministry, your experience, and the ongoing need to address issues of addiction, to talk about it from the testimonial side.
Sure.
And you have a tremendous testimony, which I hope you'll thumbnail sketch for us in a minute.
You know me, I'm all over the place.
I know you are. So I'm going to help. As part of the job of a producer is to try to keep you
please
in line.
ADD, A personality,
yeah.
Coffee.
I saw, I saw all of that. And John is also a ministry partner here with us. And it's amazing how many people have heard your little 15-second or so ad, if you will, to promote your ministry, and you leave your number, your personal cell number.
Absolutely.
People call that.
Yes.
And God makes that connection between you and them so that they can be saved.
Well, they're kind of taken back that someone would actually use their own phone number.
That is an amazing thing, actually.
You know, and people are like, you're not afraid of safety. You're not. No, God's got me. You know, the life I lived, the worst thing, you know, someone reaching out for help. Ain't like the old days when they'd be reaching out for a handgun or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, my life's changed dramatically
over
decades. So,
I've been in this police fire EMS ministry for 30 years. I've always used my personal phone number.
Absolutely.
When I deal with a victim or a survivor, I give them my personal number and just trust God to protect me.
Sure. That's right. And it makes there's no barrier then between you and their need.
Exactly.
Because God will use you.
Yep.
You know.
You know, most people won't reach out, you know, and that's the problem. It's you got a huge issue going on.
Yeah.
And the pride stands in the way.
Yep.
Or I'm asking too much. When it comes to drugs, alcohol, human trafficking, it already has been too much.
Uh-huh. Every moment in my life, and I was actually writing my journal this morning, and I was the scripture I was reading led me to think about the deliverances I've had in my life. Tobacco, alcohol, porn.
Sure.
I'm thinking there's another one. There's got to be.
Food.
Well, no, I'm still, obviously, I'm not addicted. I'm no longer addicted to food. I just love to eat it. You know?
Sure.
But every moment I think back that I had to, at some point, I had to involve somebody else. I had to admit.
Right.
See, and that's true. That's the AA basic. You know, admit it's not just to God, but you got to bring somebody else into that.
You know, that text came out 90 years ago, and the literature was wrote by three people, four if you're including Bob's wife, touched by God. If you read the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous, which people don't realize this, 250 self-help programs have come from the principles from that program.
Yep, that's right.
And that came from the Bible.
Yep, absolutely.
Now, it's hard because we deal with people that have had such tragedy and such tragic lives, and sometimes self-made and a lot of times not self-made, that... Got to be careful sometimes with that G-O-D word. Mm-hmm. See, but at the end of the day, if you really want true freedom, he's got to be in the mix.
Absolutely.
He's got to be in the mix. So, you know, like I work with a lot of different people, and you got to really get to know that personality to see which avenue you're going to take to be effective.
Amen.
Because you don't want to chase anybody away. But at the end of the day, if you don't get to know Jesus... you can't have the freedom you're looking for.
Amen.
And that takes a lifetime.
Let's get back to that point, John, because some of our listeners, in fact, there are many right now listening and saying, who is this guy?
Sure.
Why is he even here? Well, he's here because God brought him here and has given him a tremendous ministry. But tell us in brief the John Nelson before Jesus. What kind of guy were you?
I was just, you know, we ran Italian restaurants, breaking the law, breaking the rules for a very long time. I was more on the legal side of things, so I didn't have to be a Dirty Harry type of character.
Mm.
But a lot of that way of living took over a lot of aspects of my life. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and then I ended up getting an addiction out of the deal. Yeah. And I was an alcoholic, I think, from the first time I drank at 14.
Wow.
And my first blackout was at 14.
Wow.
I discovered cocaine at 25, and I was in my first treatment center at 28.
Whoa, man.
So let's go fast forward, 38 arrest, prison, homeless, eating out of dumpsters, living on the streets to where I'm at today. It's sheer miracle. Now, I didn't get it out, and this is very important if anyone's listening. I didn't get it the first three dozen times. I would get sober for a month. I would get sober until my wife got off my back. I would get things back. And but I never followed through. And that, if you look at the Old Testament, they had a hard time following through.
They did, yes.
You know, so if anyone's listening, don't feel that your life is over because you didn't find that discipline. Because when it's your time, we just rescued a girl 3 weeks ago. She weighed 89 pounds.
Mm.
89,
wow.
89 pounds. And still thought they were okay. You don't know until you know. And you know, Families Recover started as Families Against Drunk Driving coming up on 13 years ago. We had some tragedy in our family. Couldn't find the help I was looking for. Mothers Against Drunk Driving does a great job behind the scenes, but they're not street level. So I went to the Martin Sheriffs and got involved with Rick Bradshaw down south and a few other people, and we started doing outreaches with DUI. But then when heroin and opiates came in, which came in out of, you know, oxycodone, blues, Xanax, heroin, blah, 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 and now it's fentanyl, we decided just before Jennifer died that we were going to start familiesrecover.org. And that name, we went to some people because, you know what, I don't know everything. I don't know a lot of things. So we wanted to incorporate a name that covered just what does addiction do. Well, it hurts the family, first and foremost.
Yep.
You know, we can add in municipalities. We can add in the hospitals, the insurance companies. But at the you know, we deal with people that have just destroyed their families.
Yeah.
But on the flip side of that, I have a life today that I never thought I would have. That's the flip side.
Right.
Did it happen overnight? A lot of it.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we're coming up on 13 years old, and we're still looking for that financial bonus to come in to take us to the next level. See, we pray, and we think we should get it. We're in a world of right now. This isn't Google.
No.
I mean, everyone out there listening right now is probably holding a cell phone.
Yeah.
Am I right or wrong?
Yeah. I think you're right.
Even if you're driving in your car, you're looking at a smart screen.
Yep. That's right.
We're in a world that wants right now. Yeah. That ain't how this works.
No.
Now, I know people that have been immediately delivered. I've never had a craving. Once I've gotten sober, I just didn't stay.
Wow.
But if you follow through on the directions laid out in front of you, over time, everything comes back.
Amen. Ann, do you have any questions for John? I know you're going to be going down, leaving at the bottom of the hour, so I want to give you a chance.
Hi, Ann.
Ann.
Uh-oh, she fell asleep.
Hello?
Uh-oh.
Well, we lost a connection.
Oh, I was talking and I was on mute.
Hi, Ann.
Okay.
I apologize. I put it on mute so you don't hear me. But thank you for sharing your testimony. I think that's powerful.
Yes.
And I just keep sharing. I'm good for now. I'm this is very interesting to me as well.
You don't need to mute, Ann, because if weird noises come from the phone, I'll just pull the pot down.
Yeah.
Okay? You're good. You're good.
You know, over time, we've been able to get families, and we're involved with sober houses around the country and different programs, and we want the family back together.
Yeah.
The addiction doesn't want the family back together.
You know, in my experience, as I told you earlier, I was delivered from alcohol in 81 at a convention where a bunch of Christians laid hands on me, and I was delivered on the spot.
Awesome.
Doesn't happen very often.
Wow, amen. But
what I found out was, you can't do that without the family support.
Exactly.
You've got to have them on your side.
See, but the key to that is, and I was just on the phone with someone earlier that's just going through it, and the abuse that this person puts on his wife is criminal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But she enables him. Now, there's a lot of people listening right now that aren't going to like this next statement. If you're feeding the addiction by turning your cheek, by writing them a check, by putting them into another treatment center, by just putting up with it in your own home, if you're enabling somebody to keep going in any behavior that's destructive, you're as bad as the person that's doing it.
But it's because I love them.
Right. Now, we get a lot of phone calls, especially from us giving the number, and people calling the radio station, what are we supposed to do? Well, you got to cut them off.
Amen.
What do you mean I got to cut them off?
Tough love.
Something bad might happen. Tough love.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Tough love. You know, in the one day at a time thing, and God just put this on my heart last week. You know, they're wandering around the desert because they weren't doing the right thing, and they were getting manna enough for a day.
Yeah.
Now, if you look at any self-help program, it says, listen, I'm going to give you today.
Yeah. Right.
Today.
Yeah.
And if parents and caregivers and husbands and wives and even children that are taking care of an addicted parent, they got a tough love's the only. I've been around this since 1988. Mm-hmm. Does not make me an expert, but I can tell you this much. Tough love is the only thing that works.
Yes.
Yep.
You got to take the money out of their hands.
Amen.
And if they got to sleep on the streets like me, then you know what? That's so be it.
Yeah.
If they got to sit in a jail cell, like I'll be in the Dunklin dorm tomorrow, better there. My mother said this to me in 1992. I finally made it felony world. I would rather you be there than dead. I can sleep tonight. I can sleep tonight because I know you're safe. And I share that in treatment centers where they can't leave.
Yep.
Your people are sleeping tonight. Yep. Most people that are in there trying to get better don't want to hear that because now you're taking the enabling key out of their hands.
That's right.
See, because we're cons.
Yep.
Yes.
I could talk you out of that watch. Just give me 10 minutes.
Uh-huh.
Right? So when you talk about the tough love aspect, it's a tough sell because a lot of parents have gotten to a point, or caregivers, or a kid.
Yeah.
I can't believe I got to, what did I do wrong? And what happened in their life?
Yeah.
And what did I cause?
What,
And if you're a good drug addict like me, you will go down that manipulative road because you want that next 20 bucks.
You know which buttons to push.
So when it comes to tough love, you know, and it's a lot of people in the jails and the institutions that want to hear that. Well, how am I supposed to make it? Well, how about getting a J-O-B?
Yeah.
Exactly. J-O-B. Ooh. How about making your bed? You know?
Yep.
There's just a lot of, you know, and this ain't groundbreaking stuff. I did not take these suggestions early on, and I still have problems with some suggestions. But your time is your time when your time is your time. And some people, we're losing 325 to overdose in America today. 144 to DUI. In the liberal news, which is owned by completely the left side, the other side, they don't talk about it.
No.
We used to be on ABC and NBC quite often with overdose.
They're all participants. They're
participants. They don't want to talk about the treatment centers that are putting our kids on pharmaceutical medication because they're coming off of pharmaceutical education. They keep Big Pharma in the money.
Amen.
Yeah.
So your kid's going to come out on Suboxone or methadone, and then you're going to wonder why he's dead in 3 months because on a Saturday he ran out of methadone. And all of a sudden, he's on the streets buying fentanyl.
Yep.
And then he's a dead man.
That's right.
That's just the facts behind addiction.
Yeah.
And a lot of people don't want to hear what I have to say, especially the treatment industry. I don't get any money from the treatment industry.
I'll bet you
I haven't taken. I haven't taken a check from Families Recover since it started.
Okay.
We are debt-free, though. How's that happen? God keeps sending us something. But that's just some tough words when you're a parent and you think that you've done something wrong. The parents, you haven't done anything.
We got about a minute before a break. It's
okay.
Ed's looking around this green, red light.
We got a new
blinking.
Light. We got a red light district.
We got
district.
A new tool in here.
I think it's going to rain.
Well, I, I'm not going to say what was on my mind because running up But when we come back, I'll
you're going to give us your mind?
I'll give it, yeah. If well, I'm not using it. You might...
if you well, these are great conversations.
No, and, these are, yeah.
You know, since we became a partner in this radio station, and along with Jimmy and Keith Masters, we have ground-shattering, we're going to hurt your feeling talks about what's going on in the addiction world.
Amen.
And that's truly the kind of conversation we have to have.
That's right.
If absolutely. If you are, what we would say, and it's true, if we have that conversation and you're listening in and you don't want to hear it, that's a problem.
That's right.
And that's
you might
a problem.
Be the problem.
You might be the problem. Well, we'll find more about that when we come back.
Hi, this is Karen Hubbard, inviting you to join me every Friday at 11 a.m. for Hidden Places, where you'll hear exciting testimonies, amazing stories, and casual conversations with believers just like you, here on WCNO 89.9 FM.
Do you know what happens every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on WCNO Christian Radio? News and views to edify the body of Christ. Exciting authors, pastors, teachers, folks invested in richly blessed ministries where the church meets the world. God is doing things you want to hear about. That's Wednesday Live, airing every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on WCNO 89.9 FM.
There is no doubt we live in chaotic times. Just listen to the news, if you dare. The world is a battleground for spiritual warfare. If what you see or hear in the news frustrates you or makes you fearful, then you need something beyond the news. You need the good news. Every Tuesday on WCNO at 11 a.m., a biblical response to the issues of the day. And welcome back to the front line, and we've always been on the front line, but
we're
right now
lining.
We're moving the front line forward because where we have with us John Nelson, who is the founder of Families Recover, himself just shared his testimony of years of drinking and drugging and jail time and prison time, and then meeting the Lord, having all of that, having his whole life done a 180. And we were, before we went on the break, and we're talking about speaking the truth, getting up into the face of the evil.
Exactly.
And encouraging other people to do the same. And I was going to say, because I'm a pastor, so, and I'm a recovering alcoholic or delivered alcoholic.
And I love
so.
The fact that you share that openly.
Amen.
On the radio.
Well,
amen.
I have to. God, there's nothing that I've ever been delivered from that God won't let me not talk about. You know, I've got to.
Yes.
You know, and when I was, I'm kind of retired now. This is my ministry. But when I was in the church and in several churches, as God delivered me and then said, now you got to talk about it. And it was great because people need to hear from their pastors that we're people too.
That's right.
You know, we're not an extra special. We're not, you know, our holiness is not greater than yours. Uh-huh. There are days when I didn't think I had any of that. But the point is, and I was talking, we're talking now about drugs, alcohol, drugs, and other, and even sexual, the sex trafficking
sure.
stuff.
Absolutely.
Sure.
We have pastors that absolutely refuse to address that, yeah. are
shame,
so afraid of looking at that. And when the Lord delivered me from the alcohol, that was December 22nd of 2003, by the way.
Wow.
And at that point... You know, he said, "Okay, now you got to preach about this. You got to teach about this." And I already had two other deliverances before, so I was expecting that. But it was like 180 degrees then for me, and I was challenging other pastors. The senior pastor where I was ultimately recognized he had a drinking problem, and you know, he got into recovery, and
sure.
it was great. But here's the thing. Is we pastors, maybe you're not, hopefully you're not addicted to anything, although that would be amazing that as a human being,
sure.
you don't have some addictions, dark chocolate especially, but but
free
you know,
will.
Free will, right? We choose, we have addictions
will.
We don't know about.
That's right.
But our pastors need to be in the foreground of bringing the gospel to their people to such a degree that even if they're not addicted, they have to recognize they're out every time you preach and you look out at that sea of faces, good percentage of those people have deadly addictions, mostly alcohol. It could be drugs and or both. It could be sex addictions.
Sure.
There's all kinds of things that keep us, number one, from having the relationship with God that we need, and number two, having a full life, a life that we can then honor God by bringing the gospel in our lives to other people without those impediments.
Yeah. You know, and actually being able to deliver the message to where, hey, listen, if you fail, keep trying.
Yeah.
Because none of us are fail-proof.
Exactly.
And you're hoping that the pastors who became clergy for a reason want to share the truth.
Yeah.
Whole truth and nothing but the truth.
There's two issues that you brought up that I see came up from what you just said, David, is the pastors that refuse to address these issues. One of them is they have lived such a sheltered life. They've never experienced anything
Absolutely.
Like this. So they're in total denial that it exists.
Right.
They don't. They
That's
can't
an incredible
acknowledge,
point.
They can't even acknowledge the fact that it exists. The other side of that is they have deep-rooted addictions in their own life that they can't possibly confront. So they're not even going to open that can of worms.
And that, I think, is the major dynamic, is when I can repair my own self pre-recovery and post-recovery.
Right.
Is the fear, because I knew I was an alcoholic.
Yeah,
sure.
But to then begin to address that and to make that an issue between me and God, and, then God's going to, I know what God's going to do. He's going to make me stop drinking.
Yeah.
And at that point, I'm saying, and this is the devil, by the way,
sure.
who says, you can't stop drinking. You need that to live.
Mm-hmm.
If you stop drinking, everything is over.
I got to let you feel better.
Yeah. There you go.
Got to feel better.
But that's the only thing you do that makes you feel comfortable. So why should I have to give that up?
You can get that same feeling by helping people.
There you go.
Well, what I want to share then is a quick story.
Endorphin.
I think I shared this on the air before, but it's been a while. Didn't take long for God. I was delivered because of the manner of prayer that was offered for me to be delivered. And that I went to AA and I did Celebrate Recovery for a while, but I have, I really, God just took it away. I mean, I have no desire.
It's amazing, isn't it?
And so in the recovery period, I had a situation where a family whom I'd known for years, in fact, they were in the first church I was in. And then after I moved out of state, came back, they were in the church I came to. And I knew them for a long time. And the wife had a severe alcohol problem, which I didn't really notice when I first met them. But it became more aware. I was became more aware of that when we had social events and stuff. But after the Lord delivered me, and with that, by the way, when God delivers you from an addiction, what you get, and just not the freedom, but it also the courage to address that in other people, and especially if you're a pastor, that's even more important. And so I say this to the glory of God. This is not a story that lifts me up in any way. It just happened to be I was the instrument. But as it turns out, this woman was in the hospital because of drinking-related issues. And it was pretty severe where she was. And I had been told that as the doctor told her, well, you have one more drunk, but you don't have one more recovery.
Yep.
She was on the edge, death's door. And I prayed about this. I happened to be going to the church that morning to work on a sermon. And the Lord said, go there. And in our tradition, we have books that, we have various services in there. And so he sent me in. He said, make copies of the two burial services that we have in the book and take them to her. So I made the copies of the whole services, put them in a file folder, went to the hospital, got in the room. And she knew also, I'd shared from the pulpit about, being delivered from alcohol. And So I walked in the room. Family was there. She was, like, flaked out on the bed. She was conscious and cogent, you know, but very, very weak. So we had a conversation. I moved everybody out of the way. I went to her. I took the file, and I plopped it on her tummy, right? And I said, I just went, God told me to make copies of both of the burial offices we have in the prayer book. And I just want you to look over, and I said, I want you to pick one. Because your family, it's going to be a disservice to your family. You're going to die, by the way. I said, if you don't do something positive, and they had actually a bed in a treatment center for her, because that was about the only way she was going to get sober. I said, if you don't do this, then you're going to die. So if you choose not to, which has been your history in the past, at least love your family enough to give them an idea of what kind of service you want. Well, talk about deer in the headlights. But the point was, God gave me that. I didn't, you know, that was from God. But it, because she knew where I was coming from, I wasn't cutting her any slack, nor was I lying. She knew exactly. So she decided to do the treatment. She had a full year of sobriety and wonderful times with her family before other health issues took her down. But point was, I'm just saying, I'm not going to belabor this point, but our pastors, listen, you know, if you're a pastor, maybe you're dealing with this all the time, but every pastor has at least one person in their congregation who has an addiction issue.
On the minimum.
And if you don't proactively and pray about it, for sure. What does God want you to say about this? But as your position, your responsibility as a pastor is great. And God wants you to be the primary person who is reaching out to these people, not, and for God's sake, not in condemnation.
Absolutely. No.
There's a lot of pastors, this is a sin, we got to deal with it. Yes, it's sinful behavior. But let's have the compassion of God. You know, that you will. God loves you. He wants to restore you. He wants to bring you out of that prison, you know, and you know you're in a prison, whether you admit it or not.
Oh, it's prison.
And so anyway, that's just, I don't want to belabor that point.
You know, and your point of the pastor is, if you got 100 people in your congregation, let's go by statistics.
Yeah.
I'm not huge on them, but they say 14 out of 100 are addicted to something. Yeah.
Right.
So if, let's say you're a church like I went to Calvary Chapel, Fort Lauderdale, where there's 19,000 people, which had a huge recovery
program.
Because they were inviting that element into the church.
Right.
Okay, let's say you're a church of 1,000. That means 140 of your people have an issue.
Yeah.
And I would be willing to say that if they were honest, they would probably find out that about 300 of them had something going on that arena.
Yeah, absolutely.
In that arena. Now, like you said, delivery is everything. I'm either, and I'm big on this in the program, I will walk up to some old-timers after the meeting and say, you're either chasing them out or you're chasing them in. Mm-hmm. And it's all on how you handle that person when they first come in.
What?
Now, if a pastor, like you said, walks up and says, blah! You're the devil! Well, I was.
Yeah,
there's no denying the looking in the mirror that I had no soul. So you're not telling them something that they don't know. How about some love?
We all, addicted people carry a heavy load of condemnation.
Absolutely.
With them. They already know that.
They don't need no help.
They've heard that. You know, what they really need is the truth that God loves you. Now, the truth in love, as Paul says in Ephesians 4, is God loves you and he wants, if you continue in this line of life, you're going to die, and guess what? You're not going to have time in heaven with God. Amen. There's only one other spiritual plane of existence where you're going to be, and that we call that hell. You don't want that. That's don't want that, and more so God doesn't want
that. Love them until they love themselves.
Love them until
I just had a friend who were 5 years on Saturday. They come in from out of town. All of her tribe comes in from out of town to go to Fellowship Hall.
Yeah.
That day, and a couple other girls come in for the other girls. She was dead on the table. 5 years ago.
Wow.
Dead.
Wow. Yeah.
They got her hooked up to machines. She comes waltzing into the hall with her new baby.
Wow.
Oh, man.
How about that look in her eye?
Yeah.
You want to know how? She got sober and she started working with other women. Spreading the fact that you can beat this.
Yeah.
It's not over, but you got decisions to make. You got to make the decisions to get out of that lifestyle.
Yeah.
And that's the biggest problem we have. Most people can't break that bond.
Let me ask you a question. There's something that crosses my mind. I teach a course called Pastoral Crisis Intervention to help pastors understand how to deal with people in the congregation that are in really horrific situations. And it's amazing how much resistance I see to pastors wanting to admit that they need that training.
They do.
How many pastors would benefit from a course of instruction on how to deal with people in addiction?
Mm-hmm. Tragedy at a whole. I mean, let's just make addiction and put it into a balloon
of
all the other things that could go along with teaching tragedy, recovering from a tragedy. Just in my life in the last month. Gentleman's 36 years sober, Clarkston, Michigan, good friend of mine. That's my home group in Detroit. Blows his brains out sober. The same week, my son's 23 yesterday, gets a call from the sister. His friend put a gun in his mouth at 22. Why? Nobody will ever know. Okay. How about a week ago Saturday, my good friend, 35 years in Detroit, son at 39, gets run over by a car hits his motorcycle and kills him. All three of those tragedies, are the clergy trained up enough? Exactly. I'm not talking just about overdose or drugs or alcohol. How about just the destruction of life itself when it happens? What do you tell a grieving parent that just found his kid
that's
dead?
What I deal with all the time. Yeah.
You know what that parent's thinking? What could I have done different?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And that's...
What did I do?
And that's that part of it's parental responsibility, appreciation for parental responsibility. Some of it's survivor's guilt. There's a whole mess of stuff that goes on in there.
Right.
But that's not really where we need to go. Those are the questions.
That's right.
But that's
the
first...
the question that Ed brought up.
Yeah.
Are the pastors deep enough trained
that's exactly
to deal
my point.
With that type of...
Exactly
loss, that type of dilemma. What is someone that's never been, like you said, grew up a PK, pastor's kid, never been exposed to the streets like me, going to deal with a street, a girl that was out on the streets. We've had three in the studio that were rescued by us and helped by many.
Yeah.
How do you counsel somebody that was selling themselves on the street for fentanyl if you've never had that in your life? That's not book. But the Bible says this, you can show them love, but getting the right training.
I want to swing back to Ann because I know you have to go pretty
soon. We love Ann.
We do. Do you have anything you want to say?
I listen every week.
Well, John could talk about Families for Recover, the organization and nonprofit that he started, and how people can get help. I know that you guys are partnering with the radio station and people know, but people who may be listening for the first time.
We have a huge network.
I'm on your website right now, familiesrecover.org.
Yes. We have a huge network of treatment centers around the country that we actually partner with that don't put them on drugs after they're detoxed. Mm-hmm. I'm big about being 100% sober. Unless you have a mental issue where you should be weaned off and then put onto something that keeps your bipolar, not bipolar. I'm not a professional there. But, we've, over the years, been trained up by mistakes that we've made as a nonprofit. We take a lot of people. The Miami Heat have stood in the gap with us for 11 years. It'll be 12 this year. We do a big event down there every year. That's became our big fundraising. And that helps us where we've been able to get women off the streets and even guys. It just goes both ways when it comes to sex trafficking. Getting them into housing, getting them the help they need. Oxford House is huge. They have 110 women's houses on the East Coast. Getting them accountable, getting them love that they deserve, and getting them into a mindset, because it's a sober mindset.
Yeah.
It's a lifestyle.
Yeah,
I live
yeah,
a sober absolutely. Lifestyle, sober mindset. You can go on our website and ask questions, and we're going to answer it immediately. You can call the radio station, and they're going to get a hold of me. But there's resources out there that we can help bridge the gap. But we're not the only ones. See, our nonprofit's poor, but it's rich because we don't make money.
Yeah.
We partner with other nonprofits And that's how the network has become so cool, because they'll call me and say, like, Elevate Hope Project Lift, blah, 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 which is all local, and say, hey, we got this issue. We need you.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm not going to say, well, write me a check.
Right, yeah. And that's the blessing of, you know, you don't have to shoulder this work all on yourself.
No,
but
it's a team.
We're about 18 seconds from a break, so let's go ahead and take that break. And then when we come back, John, I think it's important. We want to talk about, again, Families Recover, but let's also, you want to talk about the fundraiser coming up.
We're looking to hire a fundraiser. We're looking for grant writers. Finally, I'm to the point of being semi-retired. Son's taking over a bunch of the company. It takes money.
Mm-hmm. It does. Well, let's come back and we can talk more about that.
Chances to love that I've ignored, mercies I found I couldn't afford. I'm sure I would have shown them if I would have known then how we all play a part in each other's lives. And there's more to the game than winning the prize. So much I wanna try now. I feel like I could fly now. Sure, there are things I'd do different, and yet grace gives me days where I simply forget. 'Cause you set me free to run through fields of laughter and to sing as though I have no yesterdays. You set me free from my befores and afters, from a debt I know I'll never pay. Father, you father me ever so patiently. You give me when you set me free to fly.
Hey, boy, welcome back.
You're getting better and better on those drums.
He is.
practice, right?
Yeah, I guess.
You come in at nighttime and learn how to play all that stuff?
Yeah, well, it took me a while, you know.
I bet.
Learning this kind of stuff is not a facility for me, but you work at it hard enough and make the mistakes you need. Like, I don't know how many times I put us off the air in the early days because of pulling the wrong pot down or turning the wrong knob or whatever.
I still cut water lines in the wall.
Right.
I'm guilty.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's just the way it goes.
Or hitting a wire.
Well, welcome back to the last portion of The Front Line for Monday, the 14th of July.
Already.
And the day after Ed turned 82.
Yeah.
That's going to go down in history, American yeah. history, right, Ed?
At least.
At least, yeah. At least for local.
If I had known I was going to live this long, I'd have taken much better care of myself.
Yeah. Isn't that true for all of us? Good. We were just talking about how poorly we've taken care of ourselves for a while. Talking with John Nelson, Families Recover. We covered a lot of ground, interestingly enough, in the last,
Our hours always go by quick.
Yeah, they go by very quick. And that's why you come
Keith
back
wouldn't
so
have been
much.
Here. If Keith would have been here, we wouldn't have been able to. We wouldn't have got a word in edgewise. But I love Keith.
Oh, man. And
I see him on the street giving out tracts down off the freeway in Palm Beach County.
Yeah.
He is doing what he says he does on
He's the real deal.
He
is a street minister.
He is a street minister.
And so one thing I wanted to talk about, number one, any ministry that does anything needs funding.
Absolutely.
Now you have been, I know personally, you've funded Families Recover.
And the lean, like when COVID came in and most of your corporates went into that direction, which makes sense. Yeah. My big problem now is the corporations that were backing us and the people that were in the high enough seat to make that happen have retired.
Uh-huh.
And when Sam's Club was a huge, huge, they gave us a lot of money.
Yeah.
They really believe in what we do. And when my brother Mike retired, you get another person that's coming in behind them. They have a different vision of where that money should go.
Exactly. Sure, exactly.
So, I mean, chasing money is just part of our life.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just what it is. Yep. We were able to give away 5 cars last year. We had a young lady, Carol, that called the radio station and gave Emma the last car. These girls work hard, and that's really a mission. My wife, if nobody knows, my wife died of sex trafficking 6 years ago. She was hooked on heroin.
Mm.
And we're a nonprofit, and we both went to church.
Mm-hmm.
She found pills again, and it ended up ending her life. So we've really partnered with law enforcement trying to get these girls off the streets.
Yeah.
They don't want to arrest them. They want the guys that are pimping them. They want the drug dealers. They really don't. They want the girls to get help, but they got to want help.
Yeah.
So, last year we were able to give away 5 cars with very little fund.
Mm-hmm.
I think to myself, a lot of these people get these big budgets, United Way and Red Cross and blah. If I was to get just $100,000 a year and then supplement that some other ways, we could probably give away 30 cars. Because we live in a place, and I want people to hear this. Think about taking your kids to school. Think about going grocery shopping. Or how about this? How about that job that helps keep the roof over their head without a car? So God really put it on my heart. Let's try to get a mobile. So usually within the first year they're sober, doing the right thing, they're fixing their license. They're fixing this.
Right.
As soon as they do, and we've actually stood in the gap and helped numerous paying, and men too, not just women, get their car, get their licenses back. Because we don't want you driving illegal. And then we'll start shopping.
Right.
And lo and behold, Carol came along. And then there was someone that had a $2,000 car. They've been driving that car for 2 years. $2,000 car. So, the type of budgets we're looking for really don't come from the golf or the heat. We're looking for some corporate or people that are listening right now. I really want to jump on board because in memory of my son or my daughter, or in my case, my wife, who took their last breath to addiction, I want to make a yearly donation to them in their memory.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
It's not unheard. And that's what I've really lacked fundraising, be it my health with my heart and stuff. And really, it takes effort. And I still was working.
Sure.
God's given me a good life.
He has.
Am I breaking the bank? No.
Yeah.
But when we're able to keep the lights on, we don't have a warehouse. We don't have an office. We're completely integrated off internet, computers, phones, blah, 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 blah.
Your truck's your office.
That's right. Exactly. Yeah. So, taking that in my nonprofit, our nonprofit has never made a truck payment.
Wow. Yeah.
No.
You make a separate distinction. And I think it's important, everybody's, not everybody, but those that do donate to nonprofits, so many of them are asking, well, how much of what I put in actually goes to the cause of the, and in some cases, administrative costs eat up some of that money. And in some cases,
how come Red Cross 13 cents?
13 cents goes.
How about United Way? They come in at about 22 cents. That's what goes to the people.
That's what goes to the cause, yes. What they're trying to do.
I won't throw the other nonprofit that does driving under the influence about 6 cents. And wow. They've got millions of dollars of budget, $100 million of budget.
Yeah.
See, because nobody's holding the 501c3 accountable.
Right.
So you can literally run money through. And I've had people come to me, hey, let's run some money through your nonprofit. Well, tell me, why would I want to funnel your money?
Is that called money laundering?
Oh, well, yeah. That's what they, well, yeah.
Yeah.
It's,
yeah.
Some people that were up in the government just do shell companies. That way they can just move it around.
Right.
And I've had people come to me and say, well, if you would take a stance on this medicated treatment,
yeah,
we might get you $250,000 a year.
Yeah.
How many lives can you help with $250,000? I don't want their dirty money.
Yeah. It's principles are involved.
Good.
But what I say to our listeners, here's
and
a guy.
And I'm not trying to be righteous.
No.
I'm not. Trust me. I count pennies.
You're trying to be honest.
Exactly. Right. And a lot of people don't want to hear. And I'm sure there's a lot of people that this is an incredible radio station. I brag about this radio station, the people that are moving into the area, because I do work in people's houses, about an unsyndicated Christian radio station that still can tell the truth.
Yeah.
And I'm not coming against the other stations. I'm not. Please don't think that I'm coming against them. They have formats.
Of course.
And they have corporate sponsors.
Absolutely.
I'm involved with a huge airline. They cannot donate to me because I don't agree with their stance on transgender or LGBT. Okay. Now, they help us in other ways, but they can't write us a check because that's what their board says.
Right.
WCNO doesn't have that limitations. No. I can get on here and say right now, if you're sitting in Sewell's Point and you've had vodka and it's noon in front of you since 6 a.m. because I know you had to get straight because you can't function without alcohol and you want help, call.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You want to write me a check for $100,000 in memory of your kid that took his last breath to putting a needle in his arm? I'll make sure that everyone at Heat Stadium hears his story.
That's right.
We'll bring you into the station and let you tell us about it and what you could have done different.
Yep.
Not to condemn you as a parent, but to get other parents, like you were talking about with clergy, not wanting to know about crisis management. We do this as a team. We love you.
Yes.
Yeah. And you're not bad because you just didn't know. You didn't know what you didn't know.
Yeah.
And there's no administrative structure between John and the people that need help.
Not at all.
Right.
It's you get his. You're going to give out your phone number again. You can also give out the website.
Sure.
And we want to talk about. Let's just do that now. How can you reach John? John, how can they reach you?
The website's www.familiesrecover.org. We do have a donate button. It is 100% secure. We are looking for money. 772-285-5828. You can message me. You can go john@familiesrecover.org. You know, if you want help, if you're anything like me, when I was ready, I was going to do whatever it took.
Yep. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And if there's someone out there that's suffering right now, I'll meet with you right now.
Yeah.
Now, I can't do that always, but I'm going to call you back.
Yep. Mm-hmm. He'll get back with you. I do want us, before we run out of time, which is a danger.
We always run out of time.
But we specifically in terms of the fundraiser you wanted to talk about today.
No,
coming
we're looking,
up.
Yeah, we're doing we've done a big thing with the Heat with foster kids.
Now, that's Miami Heat for people
Miami
that don't
Heat,
know.
Miami Heat, we've been dealing basketball. With 12 years, it'll be 13 years. They've sent buses up here. We used to do a lot of treatment centers. We still do treatment centers. We take Project Lift. I love that organization. They're really working with kids to get trades. We at Christmas usually take, last year was 250 people.
Mm-hmm.
It takes money. So that's what we're raising money for right now.
So you take them down to the Miami Heat game.
We feed them. We take them to the Heat. We give them some money in the stadium.
Yeah, we give them some cash.
Because these kids are coming from somewhere, and people in this town don't realize just how bad it is. There's kids out there that don't have shoes. I know 4 school teachers that live in their car.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right. Yeah.
So we don't want to look at that.
No. Yeah.
But it's a real deal.
Yeah.
But the people who are going down, they're in great need of a lot of things.
And there's a lot of great people that jump in as chaperones.
And a lot of them are kids. I mean, a lot of these kids.
We went to fosters because we find that most drug addicted people lose them in the system. And now that housing is so expensive, they've done everything they can. We don't have affordable housing for people that are getting their kids back, so they can't get their kids back.
Right.
Got to have an address. I mean, that's a whole different topic that we could cover.
Yeah, but, you know,
the need is this. We need money. We're looking to hire a fundraiser. We're allowed to pay back a certain amount by law,
right?
501c3 per the IRS, and we're also looking for grant writers, because now that this administration's in, that lifted all of the opioid money that the other administration got rid of, including the Sparrow Project for Human Trafficking, is all back in place. So if we had the right grant person, they could write it for us to where we are in the mix with opioid awareness, schooling, like your pastors.
Yeah.
So that's, we're looking for that pro. And you call me. I'll get out of here in 10 minutes, 772-285-5828. And if I sound passionate, I buried my wife.
Yeah, he is passionate.
How much
folks.
More passionate do you need to be? My son just went to his best friend's funeral.
Yeah.
22.
They're very, I've known you long enough, John, to know, and I can say this in all assurance, that you are so laser focused on serving the Lord and this area of ministry he's given you, which you're very well trained, because trained through living as a druggie on the street.
That's right.
And so that... this is the guy you want to call if you have a problem, or you know, or you can encourage someone to get in touch with him who you know has a problem.
Like New Horizons, we had Michelle in here. Just, we've learned to get around people that can take you to the level you need to go. You know, and as far as being laser focused, I'm still a sinner that's learning a lot of stuff. I was just sharing with Ed, you know, I'm coming up on an anniversary. Every year I take one of these thorns that God's shown me as my behaviors that I want to get rid of because it isn't tasteful anymore. It's distasteful. People got to realize this is a lifetime of learning.
Yeah. Getting back to the Miami Heat now, you're raising money now, but when is this going to happen?
Schedule will come out mid-August, so it's probably going to be the week of Christmas because the kids are out of school, very important,
right. Or
the week of New Year's.
Okay, and so it's
somewhere in the holiday season.
It's a few months ahead, but you plan for this now.
Yeah, you're looking at $40,000.
And that's what you need. I was going to ask you how much you needed.
You know, with buses, food, chaperones, tickets, blah, 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 blah.
And how many kids will that cover?
We're going for 500.
500, okay.
Yeah.
Which is great.
We're going for a grand slam.
Now, you may be a foster kid that grew up, and maybe you had a great experience, maybe you didn't.
Right.
But you got your head straight today, and you got a heart for other fosters. This is a tremendous opportunity. If you yourself experience something like that,
come on the radio with us.
Well, come on
Let's
the radio
talk
with
about
us,
it.
But also send some money to help other
money.
Fosters help get their lives squared away.
You know, I know we're out of time, but I want people to know this, and this is a fact. This ain't fiction. People that have gone through stresses and distresses and addictions have earning capabilities far more than normal people. We just had to learn to focus our attention on it. See, we were so focused on living dysfunctionally, but once I got focused on, it all came together.
Yeah.
Because we all have talent. The most destructive person living on the street with a needle in their arm, and someone's listening right now, you have a talent that no one else has.
It takes a lot of creativity.
You may be an engineer. You may be architect. You could be the next mayor. I don't know where you're at, but you're not stupid. You just made some, you got hooked.
It takes creativity and resourcefulness to live like that.
It takes a lot of work to stay drunk.
Absolutely. And you know who you are. Now's the time.
We're not coming at it. If you need help, call.
Right. Don't let pride get in the way. Pride will kill you.
I can take them to detox right now and walk them in the door.
Yeah.
Right now.
We've got about a minute and a half before we have to say goodbye.
I want Ed to say something about tragic crisis with the ministry thing. You had mentioned that about the ministers not wanting to be
pastoral crisis intervention. Yes. Pastors believe that because they've been to seminary and they've been around ministry for years that they've got all the bases covered. But people get into tragic situations and they need specialized intervention. And you need to be trained to do that. And pastors, put your pride aside and go get some training.
We've got about 10 seconds, folks. So probably just enough for me to say John, thank you for being with us
today. Thanks for having me.
Always a pleasure, man.
Such a quick hour.
It does. It goes by so quickly. But fortunately, we'll have another one next week. Tune in again next week. I have no idea who's coming, but we'll all figure it out later. God bless you.
Amen.
Tune in next Monday at 11 a.m. as we take another fascinating trip to the front line.
Safety for your home and family. Now that's important to you. And Gator Security with its 5-year warranty can help. With security, video surveillance, and access control, Gator Security is available at www.gatorsecurity.com.